Your lesson plan probably says lesson 11 at the top of the page. We got nearly through to the second from last page, I believe, in there. Concerning the church, I know we covered that last time, but I do briefly want to look at that part again and talk about the missionary work a little bit, and then we get to the Lord's work or the Holy Spirit's work within the singing services. We stopped in the middle of that one, so we'll start again there and then finish up about the Holy Spirit working in the lives of the preacher and some other things there. So first I want us to read that first verse, Philippians 3:3. The Bible says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." So it's established throughout the Bible that it's only through the Holy Spirit that we're able to truly worship God. When we try to worship Him in our flesh, it's not doing any good. It doesn't do God any good, doesn't do you any good. It may make you feel good, but your feelings have nothing to do with worship. I want you to understand that. Now, certainly worship gives us great feelings, but when it comes to worshiping God, we are adulating God. We are lifting Him up. We are exalting God and thanking Him for all the things that He does for us and for just who He is. I mean, God is worthy to be praised. He is worthy for our worship. And if He didn't do one single thing for us, He's still worthy of our praise. And so we need to remember that. When we come to worship, we worship God in the Spirit, the Bible says, and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And look what He said there. Have no confidence in the flesh. When we start having confidence in our flesh is when we mess up. There's a lot of worship going on today that is not in the Spirit, but is just flesh. And I'm going to coin this phrase. Maybe one day I'll start getting commissioned for saying it, but it's a rock and roll flesh show in most churches today. And that's just the truth. It don't take you long to just go through Facebook and look at the live feeds of some of the churches or go to one of the community channels or whatever it may be and listen and watch some of these services that are going on today, and it is nothing but a rock and roll flesh show. I mean, we're talking, you could not tell the difference in some churches than if you were watching a rock concert. I mean, you got these nasty, stringy-haired looking people up on stage playing rock and roll music and got the flashing lights and everything else. Friends, that's not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. When our worship style reflects the world style, that's not true worship of God. That's not worshiping in the Spirit. That's worshiping in the flesh. So we need to always understand that God inspires our worship services, and it's through the Holy Spirit. Now, the only way a church can truly worship in spirit and in truth, first of all, you must be saved. You've got to be saved. Now, there's a lot of people, I believe, in churches today that are not saved. They joined the church. They might have made some profession of faith or maybe said they were saved or whatever. I believe there's a lot of unsaved people in churches today. I really do. And it reflects and shows in the church, in the services, in the singing, in the teaching, in the preaching. All of that shows up when you've got a church full of unconverted people because they live unconverted lives. They live the world's lives. They live a life not filled with the Spirit. And so when you get a group of people together that's got Spirit in them, they're filled with the Spirit, they're walking in the Spirit, they believe and trust in the Spirit, and they worship in the Spirit, it shows up in the church service. Now, you know, you may think, well, if we've got all that going on, why ain't the church packed full of people if that's the case? Well, that is why it's not, because people will run from true worship. They'll run from those in the Spirit. They will flee because it is not, they don't understand those things. They can't relate to it. But now you throw the world in there, listen, we won't draw these people in. We're going to start playing rock music. They like that rock music. That'll get them in here. You get them in with rock music, you got to continue in with rock music. You got to continue that kind of worship, and it is the world's worship, not godly worship. And so we got to worship God in spirit and truth and have no confidence in this flesh. And I gave you the example of the woman in the well, at the well in Samaria, and Jesus coming, and he told her that she actually mentioned worship. And here's a woman, I mean, a sinful woman, an adulterous life, 5 husbands, and all the things that she'd done. And here she's trying to teach Jesus about worship. And Jesus has to set her straight. And he says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we know that's the case for the church. And then the next point there, point two, he desires to direct its missionary work. I'm not going to cover a lot of this. We talked about this very in detail last week. However, we do need to remember that all of our mission work, everybody that we decide to support, any money we send, anything that we do, we need to be directed by the Holy Spirit. We need to get that settled. We can sit down with a list of missionaries and say, I want to support somebody in whatever country, Japan. Say we want to support somebody in Japan. So let's get us a list of missionaries, those that's in Japan, and let's just go through and pick one and say, well, that's good enough. No, it's not good enough. We need to hear these people first. We need to hear them teach or preach. We need to see their presentation of the gospel. We need to hear their testimony. They need to have a testimony. That's the number one thing. When we're looking at missionary, I want to know their testimony. I don't want to know that their mom and daddy sent them to Crown College when they got out of school and they decided they'd be a missionary. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear that God has put it on my heart so bad I got to go to this country. You know, I can't help but go to that country. And I don't want to go to that country, but that's where he wants to send me, and that's where I want to go because he wants to send me. That's the kind of missionary we want. I don't want to support somebody that is in it just because they think this is be a good country to visit. You know, I think we really enjoy living there, so we'll go there and be a missionary. Doesn't work that way. We need to go where God says to go. And I talked about Paul, how it must have been kind of frustrating there to be wanting to go to certain places and the Holy Spirit forbidding them to go. But I believe that Paul was following the leadership of the Holy Spirit everywhere he went. And then we got to point number three there. He desires to aid in its singing services. There, Ephesians 5, 18 through 19. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're going to look at that verse some more on our next point in a minute about the preachers. But here is specifically speaking about this, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I want you to notice something here in the Bible. Often we find that the Lord is comparing being filled with the Spirit to being drunk with wine. Do you notice that? Several times in the Bible, he gives us the reference of not being drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, why do you think he's saying that? Well, if you've ever been around a drunk person, you understand this. A drunk person, you can take somebody that's real timid, real shy, you know, would not do anything, and you fill them full of wine and get them drunk, and you know what? They're singing, they're talking to people. I mean, it changes them. It changes their personality. It changes everything about them because they're no longer following their spirit. They're following the spirit of alcohol. And alcohol is influencing. That's why they say you're under the influence of alcohol. You're influenced by that. And so it causes you to do things you normally wouldn't do under your own power. So when the Lord tells us not to be drunk with wine, be influenced by alcoholic spirits, doing things that you normally wouldn't do, I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which will cause you'll be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, doing things what you normally couldn't do in your own power, your own flesh. But by the Spirit of God, he will cause us to do things that we, in our own flesh, wouldn't normally do. Do you really think that I want to stand here and teach and preach God's Word? Do you think that was my desire growing up? That's never my desire growing up. I never wanted to do that. I tried everything not to do it. And I cannot normally speak to people. I'm not a social person. I'm socially awkward. You put me in a room with a bunch of people and all I want to do is this right here and just there. And if they don't talk to me first, I won't talk to them. So that's just the way I'm made. But now I can get behind the pulpit, and I've been praying about the message and the Sunday school lesson. I say, Lord, lead me. And you know what happens? I stand here, and through the influence of the Holy Spirit, I'm able to speak. I'm able to talk. I'm able to look around the room. I'm able to do things like that. It's not me that's able to do it, but through the Holy Spirit, I'm able to. Do I want to? I'm going to honestly tell you, I don't want to. I want to be faithful and loyal to God, but I don't, in my flesh, don't want to do it. But through the Holy Spirit, He makes me want to do it. He drives me to do it. And I have a desire to do it through the Spirit. If I'm in my flesh, I wouldn't even show up. I wouldn't even show up to church in my flesh. But when I'm listening to the Holy Spirit and believing in the Lord, trusting in the Word of God, then I have to be here. I've got to do it. I cannot not do it. And so when we think of in the terms of the Holy Spirit, men and women that would normally not be able to speak or teach or anything like that, suddenly through the Spirit, they're able to teach. They're able to preach. They're able to get up and sing in front of people. And it's because they're being influenced by the Holy Spirit. So as Paul says, be not drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit. If the people in the church are filled with the Spirit, then look what it says that they will do. Ephesians 5:19, our second part of that verse is, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So if we're Spirit-filled, then our singing services at the church will be Spirit-led. And if they aren't, then we're nothing but sounding brass and tinkling cymbals is all we are. It's worthless worship. And I have sat through many a service where I really feel, I'm not talking about here, but I'm talking many services in my life, I have not felt the singing service being led of the Lord. I'll just tell you right now. We used to go to a lot of singings, and boy, I've heard a lot of stuff that I really don't think was being led by the Lord. If it was, then I'm completely wrong if it was, but I tell you, I really don't think it was. And I'll tell you, some of those singing services could get brutal. They really could. But we are to be filled with the Spirit, and I believe we have some of the most spiritual singing services here at this church. I really do. I love it. I love it more than anything. When church members get up, when you folks get up and start singing and giving your testimonies and things, it does more for me than you can ever imagine. I mean, sometimes, and I've said this before, I feel sometimes like a one-man band because I lead the singing a lot, and I preach and I teach and I do this, so I start feeling like, you know, I'm a one-man band. But when we have those singings and things and people get up and start singing, and an hour and 50, I mean, we have longer singing services than we do preaching services a lot of times. And all that time goes by, and it's like, just like that. And I'm like, man, how in the world? I mean, it's an hour and 15 minutes already? I'm ready to hear some more because it feels to me like it is Spirit-led. I don't see people get up trying to brag and say how good we are and all that stuff. People get up and they actually sing songs that honor God. The song here says psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And so I would rather hear you folks than anybody else, more than these so-called professionals. I'd rather hear Kurt Nauma sing than Howard and Vestal Goodman. I really would, Kurt. I really would. I'd rather hear Scott and Becky sing than Dual Lawson and Quicksilver. I really would. I really would. I'd rather hear my mama sing than Carol Woodard of the McCameys, and I love to hear her sing, but I'd rather hear my mama sing. I tell you, I'm telling you the truth here. And all these professionals and talented, they're good singers, but I'm more interested in the local body of Christ as they get up and they demonstrate the talents that God has given them and the desire and will to be led of the Spirit to sing a song, spiritual songs, making melody in their hearts and hymns and things. That does more for me than anything in this world. And so we need to be led by the Holy Spirit in our singing services. Brother Roger up there, he gets excited. One of these days he's going to start preaching up there. I know he is. But that's the way we need to do. We need to be led of the Spirit. All right, the fourth point there, and we'll probably spend the most of the class talking about this. His desire is to appoint its preachers. The Holy Spirit's desire to appoint its preachers. Acts 20:28. Says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now this is instructions here that of the man of God. He says the overseer unto all the flock. He said that God, the Holy Ghost, has made you overseers. So the man of God must be called of God, and that calling is done through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. One thing that we must all understand and believe is that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is the catalyst behind the calling of people into the ministry, of men of God preaching, pastoring, evangelizing, missionaries. All of these are called by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. These should not be man called, all right? And there's a lot of being man called today. Now, unless you've personally ever been called of God to preach, then you probably don't have any idea what it's like. I never wanted to be a preacher. Now, when I was little, my great aunt Parley used to stand me up on this little bench that she had, and I would stand on it, and she'd say, "Now preach for us." And I would stand there, and I'd imitate a preacher. And boy, she just loved that. She would, if anybody was over there, she'd say, "You listen to him preach." And I'd get up, and I'd start, spouting off stuff, sound like a little preacher. But I never desired to be a preacher. Never wanted to be. When the Holy Ghost convicted me of God that I was to be called to preach, I didn't want to. I mean, I wanted to do everything else, and I did do everything else. I taught Sunday school. I led the singing. I changed the church sign. I did the nursing home ministry. I did everything that I possibly could until my pastor at the time, Jamie Porterfield, he said, "When are you going to preach?" And when he said that to me, I literally got sick to my stomach. I thought I was going to throw up because I knew if he knew that God had told him that I was fighting against that. And so I had to accept it. I mean, that was God showing me, "Listen, you're going to preach." And I didn't want to. I didn't know the word of God like I needed to. I really didn't. I told God, I made up all these excuses. I don't know the word of God good enough. I don't know anything about this. I don't know how to do it. And even though I'd been around preaching and preachers all my life, I didn't want to be a preacher. And so I was resisting. But until God had to show me, I had to do it. I could not do it. And so a man that's truly called by God to preach can't help but preach. He has to preach. I know when I've not pastored, I've preached in my car. I've preached outside. I've preached wherever I could just to get it out because it's in there. You got to get it out. Jeremiah, he said this in Jeremiah 20:9. And by the way, Jeremiah tried to quit preaching. Jeremiah was so overwhelmed in the ministry. He saw all these things that God was doing. He knew all the prophecy God had said, and he said he's going to destroy his people and destroy their lands, and he was sick over it all. And he said, "You know what? I'm not going to preach the word of God anymore." Listen to what he said, Jeremiah 20:9. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." So he'd settled it already in his flesh. "I'm just going to quit. I've had it." Because God already told him, "Listen, I've called you to be a prophet, but they're not going to listen to words you're saying, but I want you to do it anyway. They're going to be against you, but I want you to do it anyway." And Jeremiah said, "No, I'm not going to do it anymore." And then the next part, he said, "But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." In other words, I couldn't help but preach. I had to. It had to come out of me because it was down inside of me burning. And so I could not stop speaking the name of God and giving his word. I had to keep on. Well, I'm afraid there's way too many people today in the ministry that were not God called. They were self called, or they were mom and daddy called, or they might have been granny and grandpa called, but they were not called of God. And we must be sure that when we say we're called by God, that we truly are called by God. Truly. I could probably shock you today to tell you the number of men that I know that claim they were called of God to preach that took off like a Roman candle and fizzled out like a dud. I mean, preached a few times and then they never preached again. But yet they said they were called to preach. If they were called to preach, they'd still be preaching. I know a lot of people that says, "Well, I think God's calling me to preach." Well, you don't think he is. You know he is. When he calls you, you know it. I mean, you may right at first think, "Is this God talking to me?" But it don't take long for God to show you, "I want you to preach." And so we got to separate our emotions and things from the Spirit of God. Your emotions can convince you of a lot of things. Your flesh will make you think you're being called by the Spirit because you've gotten some kind of feeling. We need to get our minds off these feelings we have, so you can get worked up in a church service and in your flesh think that God is saying this to you, when actually it's not, it's just your flesh. And so before we go around saying, I've been called by God to preach, we need better make sure of it. And I believe that you truly know. There's some people that I believe claim to be called to preach because they wanted to show off. They wanted to be heard. They wanted attention. They wanted people to say, oh, you know, he's a preacher. But yet they wasn't really called. Which leads us to that the next point. Probably your page doesn't look like this. I don't know. I've got point five here. His desire to anoint. Is that what you're all saying? All right. So the Holy Spirit desires to anoint his preachers. So first of all, the Holy Spirit appoints the preacher. He, through the Holy Spirit, convicts their heart that he wants them to preach. I've called you to preach. And once a man's been appointed by the Holy Ghost to preach, then he must be anointed by the Holy Ghost to preach. And this anointing is very important in the preacher's life. If you want to look over in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24, we find proof of this, that it's God's desire that the man of God be first anointed with the Holy Spirit to be able to preach. Luke 24 and 46. Now this is Jesus speaking with his disciples. It was after his crucifixion, shortly before he would ascend up into heaven to be on the right hand of the Father. Luke 24 and 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And now look what he says. This is very important. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, he's already told them, listen, I'm sending you to preach among all nations, baptizing them, and beginning at Jerusalem. And then he says this, there's a clause here. He says, but first I want you to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So they've been called, they've been appointed by God, but they don't need to go about the business of it until they've been anointed by God. In other words, he don't want them to preach right now. He don't want them to evangelize or to hold revival services or to go soul winning or any of this stuff until they're endued with power from on high. Now listen, these men's been with Jesus for over 3 years. They know the words to say. They know the right things to say. They know his doctrine. They know his theology. They know everything that they should be able to say to be able to do this reaching the nations, the preaching his name. They know everything to say. However, he don't want them to go about this until they've been endued with power from on high. That word endued means to sink into and to saturate. So in other words, preachers, I've called you to preach, but until you open your mouth, I want to endue into you the power of the Holy Spirit. I want it to sink into you. I want it to be filled up inside of you, saturated within you before you can do this. And there's a good reason for that. And so we're able to reach the lost through the Holy Spirit. If we go out trying to reach them in our flesh, we're going to fail. The Gospel of John, there toward the end of it, in John chapter 20, he tells us something else that Jesus did before he ascended into heaven. And so Luke told us he called these men to preach and he told them to wait. He wants them to tarry there in Jerusalem, but wait until you're endued with the power. And then the Gospel of John tells us that he said this in verse 19 of John chapter 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. So before Jesus ascended up into heaven. It says right there in verse 22 of John chapter 20, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus told them to tarry until they were endued with the Spirit. And now the Bible says that he breathed on them and they got the Spirit. And then, of course, just after that, over in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we find them on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost had fully come, the Bible says. And they were all in one accord, with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we find here that the Lord has called the preacher to preach, but he wants them to be anointed with the Spirit first. Endued, anointed, filled, all these things mean the same thing. I want you to be full of the Holy Spirit to be able to preach. Listen, we can get up and preach in our flesh and we will fail miserably every time. Some other verses that demonstrate this to us, that the preacher needs to be Spirit-filled, is Isaiah 61 and 1. I might have that. I believe I've got that in your notes. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now we know this double prophecy as well. Isaiah was anointed of the Lord, but the Messiah would be anointed of the Lord as well. And then 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's Paul speaking, of course, telling the church, listen, I didn't come here to dazzle you with my words. I could. Paul could. He'd been brought up under Gamaliel. He knew all the words to say. He knew all the smart things. He'd been through college. But he said, listen, I didn't come here with my college credentials to teach unto you. I came here through the power of the Spirit. He said the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He was anointed. Then there in Acts 10 and 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we already covered how the Holy Spirit worked in the life of Jesus. And there's another demonstration of it. He says that God anointed Jesus. So, I like what John says over in 1 John 2 and 20. And you may hear a lot of preachers mention this word, unction. It's only used this one time. He says in John 2 and 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. That unction right there, that unction word means a smearing, is what it means. It's a special endowment or an anointing is what unction means. And so when you hear somebody say, Lord, give me an unction, what he's talking about is he's saying, Lord, smear me with your Spirit. I mean, give me a special endowment. Give me an anointing from on high. Fill me full of your Spirit. Give me an unction. And so I like that. Preachers need an unction of anointing from the Holy Ghost if he's going to do any good. Listen, a preacher behind the pulpit has great responsibility. And we should not take it lightly. When I get up behind the pulpit, you may not be able to see it, but I'm nervous as I can be. For me to get up and preach a message that's not Spirit-filled, and I'll just tell you right now, I've done it before. I've got up and preached a message because I had worked on it so long, and I knew I had everything down just right, and I knew all the words to say, and I thought I'd done a good job, boy, when I got done. And that sermon fell flat on its face. I mean, it didn't reach a single person. And I get up there and preach and sick over what I'm preaching and wondering why in the world God would have me preach this message. Lord, you know all those people here. They don't need to hear this. I don't know how many times I've already preached something like this. Well, ain't nobody here that's even lost. They don't need to hear this kind of message. And I'll get up and preach it despite what I think. And God used that message. And me get done and I'll tell Mary, I said, I might as well just never even go back. I tell her all the time, that was the worst message I've ever preached in my life. And God will use it. One or two or three, sometimes four people come and say, boy, that message you preached, that just touched me. That spoke to me. That's exactly what I need to hear. And I'm thinking, good night. Lord, you've done it again. So we got to get up and preach in the Spirit. I tell you what, sometimes it don't, to ourselves and our flesh, it may not feel like it's what we need to be doing, but if God's in it, God told us to, that's what we got to do. But the preacher must be led of the Spirit, must be appointed, anointed, filled of the Spirit. Otherwise, we're only doing it for ourselves. We're only doing it to be heard by men and falling on our face like a dead dog. Paul, he said this to Timothy over 1 Timothy 1 and 12. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, of all people, Paul would have zero credibility because of his past. If you got a man up here today, and listen, this is our flesh, we do this. You hear about a man that lived a wicked, wicked life, and then suddenly you hear that he's preaching, and your first thought is, how in the world could he be preaching? He's wicked. I know what he's done. I know what he said. I know his past. I know everything about him. And now he's getting up saying he's been called to preach. Yeah, whatever. And that's our flesh talking to us. I want you to know God changes men. And once God gets a hold of man, and he becomes a new creature, just like Paul. Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. You see, Paul could have done it on his own. He could have went through all the motions, could have said all the right words, could have taught and preached the Old Testament, and would have been a mighty fine preacher doing that. But he would not have been doing what God wanted him to do. He says, God enabled me. Christ Jesus our Lord has enabled me and counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. So it was the Lord that put him in the ministry. We all know his story and what all happened to him. And Paul, listen, if anybody that had to defend themselves throughout their ministry, it was the Apostle Paul. His fellow Jews, they couldn't stand him. They thought he was a traitor. And when he would get up and preach, they wanted to kill him, just like they did Jesus. And then you had those Christians. When Paul would come into town, well, they were afraid of him. He's a persecutor of Christians. It was Ananias, when the Lord come and spoke to him, told him he was sending Saul of Tarsus there. And Ananias saying, wait a minute, Lord, are you sure about this? You want me to put my hands on that man and tell him that he's been called? Wait a minute now. He's a persecutor of Christians. I think you've picked the wrong guy. But the Lord showed him different, showed him otherwise. Paul said here that through Jesus Christ, that he enabled me to be called into the ministry. And so the Lord can do many things. And once we get ourselves out of the way and understand that and know what all the Lord does, and then we'll never understand it the right way. All right. Well, I thought that would be a lot longer than that, but I believe that's all I need to say on it. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for the Bible study. I pray it's been helpful in some way. God, we're praying now that you go with us upstairs, that, Lord, that our service will be Spirit-filled, our singing will be Spirit-filled, our preaching will be Spirit-filled, our testimonies will be Spirit-filled. God, our fellowship will be Spirit-filled. God, that you'll just be here in a mighty way. Lord, that we'll leave from here just experiencing the power of God. And, Lord, the only way we can do that is we know that we must worship in spirit and in truth. And the only way we can do that, God, is if you show us how. And, Lord, that we'll be obedient to it. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.